The Lord Jesus Christ gave an instruction to his disciples, and he gives it to us as well. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another." And so as we consider the scripture that we've read this morning about the acts of that had happened in Ephesus, let's consider this commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would have love one toward another, and that all men would know that we are the disciples of Jesus Christ by the love that we have one toward another. The Apostle Paul was obviously a very zealous man, and he yielded himself to the Holy Spirit, and he was proclaiming the word wherever it was that the Spirit would guide him to go. And so on his second missionary journey, he had a quick stop at Ephesus. And when he arrived there, he reasoned with the Jews of the gospel of God and how that Jesus was the Messiah. And he needed to leave, and they desired that he would stay, but yet he was wanting to keep a feast in Jerusalem, and so he departed then from Ephesus. And so on his second missionary journey, it was a quick stop in Ephesus. And now, on his third missionary journey, we read in the previous chapter, Acts 19, that he spends quite a bit of time there. He arrives there and he asks them, "Have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost?" And they said, "No, we haven't even heard so much as a Holy Ghost." And so Paul laid his hands on them and they were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and they received the Holy Ghost, and there was about 12 of them that received the Holy Ghost. And it was also in Ephesus that Paul did special miracles. Actually, it says that God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. God was working in Paul in Ephesus, and we can see that a lot of things transpired in Ephesus while Paul was there. And it says that from his body were also brought sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases from them and the evil spirits went out of them. So Paul was doing these miracles here in Ephesus, and the word of God prospered, and it grew here. And then also here at Ephesus was the incident of the Jews, the vagabond Jews, who were exorcists, and they wanted to expel evil spirits out of people. And they were saying, in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, come out, and that those evil spirits leapt on those vagabond Jews, and they fled from the man that was possessed with the evil spirit. And all the believers there in Ephesus, they marveled at this, and they worshiped the Lord, and they glorified the Lord for these things that were done there in their midst in Ephesus. And then shortly after that, there was the incident of those that brought their books that were not of God, and they burned them all, and they found it to be the value thereof of 50 pieces of silver. And so these things were happening here in Ephesus. And also then there was this incident of Demetrius, where he was the silversmith, and he had other silversmiths making these shrines for the goddess of Diana. And the whole city came in an uproar, and the town's clerk was barely able to subdue them. They were full of wrath, and that spirit that was in them, being full of wrath, filled the whole place with confusion. And they didn't understand even what was happening in all of that. But the town clerk was able to settle down the crowd and to disperse them all. And so all these things happened here in Ephesus in a space of about 3 years. Then we pick up the reading here in 20, where we read this morning. It says, "And after the uproar ceased, Paul called unto him his disciples, and embraced them, and then departed to go into Macedonia." Paul had an affection for the Ephesians, and they had an affection for him. And they were fulfilling that teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he said, "If ye have love one toward another, ye shall be my disciples." And so there were faithful believers here in Ephesus who believed the word of God that the Apostle Paul was bringing to them. And they embraced that teaching, and they lived out that teaching. And Paul embraces them, and they embrace him in return as he departs for a time into Macedonia. And when he went over to Macedonia, he taught the people there again, and he's exhorting them again. And then he comes down to Greece, and he spends about 3 months in Greece. And that's the area of Corinth and Athens, and he's speaking the gospel there unto them as well. But the Jews were laying wait for him, and so he goes back in through Macedonia back again to Ephesus. He's making all these journeys. And as he's going there, he makes a stop in Troas. And this is the incident where Eutychus falls from the window as Paul was preaching, and he was preaching long past midnight. And the Bible gives here some interesting details. Luke, the beloved physician, he includes some interesting details, and other things are left out. But he says that there were many lights in this upper chamber where they were all gathered together as he's preaching past midnight. It was thought necessary to include that. But Eutychus, which means fortunate, he falls from the third loft, and he's taken up as dead. And Paul goes down and falls upon him and embracing him as well. The Apostle Paul showing affection here even to Eutychus here in Troas. And he says, trouble not yourselves, for the life his life is in him. And he comes back up, and they have a meal together, they break bread together, and he continues to exhort them even until the morning hours. And then at the morning hours, then he continues his journey from Macedonia down into Asia, back into the city of Ephesus, towards Ephesus. So they go into this ship, and they're making their way down, and there's a peninsula that one of the towns was in, and Paul walks across that peninsula, whereas those that were in the ship went around. There are seven men here that are listed here in verse number 4. Seven men, and they were from different parts. Some were from Berea, some were from Thessalonica, some were from Derbe, and some were from Asia. They were seven men from different parts, and certainly they had differences among them, yet they had love one for another. Tychicus, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correct, but he's one that was from Asia, which would have been Ephesus. And the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he also writes to the Colossians, and he says that Tychicus is a beloved brother and a faithful minister. And he's going to tell you all the things that are befalling me. And so I just find that moving, that he would be referenced, that he was a faithful brother. He was a faithful brother, a beloved brother, and a faithful minister. And so there's this love that you can see that transpires as Paul is spending this time in Ephesus. That there's love one for another, and there's love for Paul and Paul for them likewise. And they are keeping that commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would have love one toward another, even as he loved us. So they make their way down, the group of seven that were listed there, as well as likely Luke and Paul and perhaps others. They're making their way down, and they pass by some islands, and they go south of Ephesus, and they come into a port there in Miletus, and Paul sends some to go up to Ephesus and call the elders and bring them down to Miletus, where he is, and he wanted to address these elders. And so they come down, and he speaks to them this majority of the chapter here. He says to them, ye know that from the first day that I came to Asia, which is that region there where Ephesus is, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. He's saying, you know these things. There's a 3-year period here where I was in the synagogue, and then I was in the school of one Tyrannus, and I was speaking the word, the counsel of God, the gospel of the grace of God. And I was speaking to you these things for these 3 years. And so he's saying, you know these things. That from the first time when I arrived here in Asia, you know what I've been in all manner of seasons. And there were difficult seasons. There were the Jews that were laying in wait for him. There was this incident with Demetrius with these shrines to the goddess of Diana. And they were shouting there for 2 hours, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." And he was a part of that. And because he was telling Demetrius and the silversmiths there that they be no gods that are made with hands. And so they were afraid of losing money. And so they created this riot. And he's telling the elders here in Ephesus that you know the difficulty that we experienced while we were here together, and how I'd been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. He was speaking to them the gospel of God. But it wasn't that he knew it all. The Spirit was working in him. And so he did this with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the laying of weight of the Jews. The Jews were always causing difficulty for the apostles as they would preach the word. In 1 Corinthians 15, it's not recorded here in Acts, but in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, "I have fought with beasts in Ephesus." It's not recorded here in Acts, but he fought with beasts. There were many things that transpired and many difficult situations that he was in. And so that's why he's saying that I was with you in many tears and temptations when I was here in Ephesus. But yet, the love that he had for them to that they would know the gospel, that they would know the truth, he wouldn't refrain himself from bringing to them that truth. And living before them in all seasons in faithfulness and having humility of mind. And he's saying, "I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." All that was profitable for them, for their spiritual lives, for a good example, and for the truth that they might know, he says, "I kept back nothing profitable." And he's saying, "I have showed you these things." And whether it was in a public setting, or whether it was in a private setting, such as from house to house, I proclaimed to you that same message. And so you know this truth that I've been bringing to you. He's saying, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying that the Ephesians needed to know that they had to have repentance towards God, a turning away from sin, a turning away from the idolatry that was there regarding Diana, a turning away from those books that they burned, a turning away from sin. And then not only a turning away from that sin, but then turning towards God, and then being a follower of God as dear children. And he was proclaiming this message to them, whether in a private setting or in a public setting, he was bringing this message to them continuously. And then also faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That it was faith that would bring them through these trials. It was faith that they would know that they could trust in the Lord Jesus, that he would provide as Paul was battling with beasts, as he was about ready to walk into the riot and they restrained him. They had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they believed this message that the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, had brought to Ephesus. And so he's saying, you know all these things. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. He's saying, okay, so now I've been here, and now I'm going to Jerusalem, and I don't know what's going to happen there. He says, I don't know how it's going to be, but I do know that bonds and affliction await me. And just as Jesus said to Ananias when Saul was Paul who was Saul was making his ways to Damascus to persecute the church there. Jesus Christ says to Ananias, I'm going to show him what great things that he must suffer for my name. And so it was here that that's what the Apostle Paul had experienced in his lifetime as he served the Lord with all humility of mind and in every season, when things were going well and when they weren't going well. And so afflictions and bonds were abiding him. They were going to be with him. But he says, none of these things move me. None of these things move me. He was willing to walk into the crowd there as they were rioting and to proclaim to them yet again that these silver shrines, they're no gods. They're not going to do anything for you. He was ready to do whatever he needed to do because he didn't count his life dear unto himself. But he wanted that message, and he had a love for all those in Ephesus that they would come to this knowledge of the truth and that they would be saved. So he says, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I may finish my course with joy. He was to finish that which the Lord had laid upon his heart to do. He was not going to give up. He was not going to walk away. And in our society today, here in America now, it just seems that if there's not much interest or if there's a change of heart a little bit, that an effort is just abandoned and they moved on. But that's not the way that we are to serve our Lord. We are to be faithful to him, that we would complete that which the Lord would have for us to do, whatever it is that as we build the kingdom of God, whatever the Spirit would direct us to do. Paul, near his death, says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He didn't give up. He didn't absolve himself of the responsibilities that were due unto him. But he kept the faith, and he finished his course. And again, here he's saying, I brought my work to completion. I've showed you the way. I've brought you the truth. And I've brought my work here to completion. He says, so I finished my course with joy and the ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. This is what he was testifying. This gospel of the grace of God. That grace was to be given unto them. And he writes to them and he's saying, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. He was telling them yet again, you are saved by grace. And that happens through your faith in the Lord. And so he brought to them and testified the gospel of the grace of God. And he says, and now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. So he's saying, you know how I was with you. He says, I know that you're going to see my face no more. And then he also says, and you know how I was with you as I ministered to my necessities and to them that were with me. So there, he's saying to them, you know some things, I know some things, we know these things to be true. But there were some things that he didn't know, and that was one of them was that when he goes to Jerusalem, he didn't know how it was going to go for him. And yet he had faith. Yet he had faith. And yet he had a love for the believers that he would proclaim the message, and he would exhort them, and he would encourage them. And so he's saying, so I did my part. The Apostle Paul is saying, I did my part. And now it's laid up upon you. He's saying, wherefore I take to you this record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. He declared to them the gospel of the grace of God. He declared unto them the all the counsel of God. And he had gone to them preaching the kingdom of God as well. So again, he did his part. And now he says to them, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. And so he's saying, now you elders of Ephesus, it's incumbent upon you to feed the church of God. And the church of God belongs to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ paid for the church with his own blood. So feed the church, he's telling them. Just as Jesus told Peter to feed my sheep. Do you love me? Jesus asked Peter. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do we love the Lord Jesus Christ? He's saying, keep my commandments. And my commandment is that ye love one another as I have loved you. So the Apostle Paul here is exhorting the elders. The Holy Ghost has made you overseers, and so feed the church of God. Feed them with the Word of God. Feed them by the Holy Spirit. Feed them for that which is there for their spiritual sustenance and for that which will allow their souls to inhabit eternity with the Lord forever. And so again, he's saying more of what he knows. He says, for I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. These are those who have no love in their heart. These are those that want to destroy. And he's saying they will enter in from the outside. And then he says, and also of your own selves shall men arise. So from within as well, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Again, those that have no love. They're those that are thinking about themselves. Those that want to draw attention to themselves. Those who want to proclaim their own gospel and not the counsel of God. And of the grace of God. And so he's saying, be careful. Take heed unto yourselves and to the flock. And then he says, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. He had such a passion for them, such a love for them, that they would just be faithful, that they would be true, that they would continue to keep the commandments of Jesus Christ, that they would have love one for another, that they would glorify the Lord. So he's telling you, for 3 years I told you this, and I warned you. There's going to be those that are going to come from without and try to devour and destroy the church, and there's going to be those from among the church that are going to want to arise to draw away disciples after themselves and not after Jesus Christ. And these things happened. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. And he writes saying, and I besought thee, this is Apostle Paul writing to Timothy about believers. Not necessarily perhaps those in Ephesus. Well, actually it was. And I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus while I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So whether it was going to be somebody from the outside or somebody from within to teach some other doctrine, Timothy was charged at Ephesus that he would charge them that they would teach no other doctrine, no other teaching, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies and all those things. And then we see in Revelation that Jesus speaks to the church in Ephesus. And he says, I know thy works and thy labors and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, those that would come from without or those that would rise from within. He's saying, I know that you can't bear those which are evil and hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not and have found them to be liars. So these things happened, as the Apostle Paul had said, that from without and from within, there will be those that will try to destroy the truth of the gospel of the Lord. And he says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Once again, this grace that we would commend each other to, the grace of God, that he would be with us, and that he would strengthen us, and that he would bless us. and through the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. It's this grace that we would have one for another, and this love that we would have one for another, extending the grace of God in an effort to build one another up. And it's able, the word of God is able to build us up. The word of God is able to encourage us. The word of God gives us the power to overcome. And to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So whether you were from Corinth, Athens, Berea, Philippi, Colossae, Galatia, wherever you were from, that if you believed and you kept the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would have this inheritance that's given unto all those that are sanctified, that are set apart to do God's will. And then he says, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know, once again, you know these things, that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and unto them that were with me. The Apostle Paul labored, supporting himself and even those that were with him. And while he was doing that, the message of the gospel went forth. And he wasn't going to be a burden on anyone. He wasn't going to be supported by anyone, but his hands have labored to his own necessities and those that were with him. And then he shows them all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The Lord Jesus Christ said, freely ye have received, freely give. We have been given so much. We have been given so much, each and every one of us. Each and every one of us have been given so much. And the Lord is asking us to give, to give. We should never be only takers, but what the Lord has given unto us, we should be willing to share and to give unto others. And then you see the affection yet again between these elders of Ephesus and the Apostle Paul and those that were with him, that when he had spoken these things, they kneel down and they pray together and they weep and they fall upon Paul's neck and they kissed him, and there was this bond in Christ that drew them together, that drew them together, a bond like no other, no, that transcended whether you were from Galatia or Asia or Greece or Macedonia. The bond that they had one with another transcended all of that. And so after all these things, the Apostle Paul writes an epistle to them, and he says a few things in them regarding this love that they are to have one toward another, and that they did have, and that they displayed, and this faith. So he writes to them and says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of all the saints, cease not to give thanks to you, making mention of you in my prayers. He's telling them, your faith is heard. It's spread abroad, the faith that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the love that you have toward all the saints. So whether some are stopping through from Macedonia or Greece, as they're coming through Asia, as they're coming through Ephesus, your love for them is displayed. And so all men can know that they are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ by the love that they have one toward another. In Christ, not because they were Macedonians or they were all Asians. No, because they had the bond in Christ Jesus. We have a vocation to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in this epistle that the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, he says, forbearing one another in love. We have a vocation. And in our vocation, we are to forbear with one another in love. That means to put up with. We're all unique. We're all different. But if we want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and keep his commandments, we are to forbear one with another. We are to forbear to put up with one another, even in our uniquenesses. And then he also tells the Ephesians, he says, be followers of God as dear children and walk in love. Walk in love. forbear with one another in love. Your love is being proclaimed throughout all of Asia Minor, throughout all this region. Your love is being proclaimed. And he's saying, walk in this love. Walk in this way. And then he concludes this epistle that he writes to the Ephesians by saying, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. The grace that we so desperately need, the grace that we so desperately cherish and relish in our lives that comes from the Lord. Grace comes unto those that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. In all seasons, when things go well, when things don't go well, when we display that love one toward another, the Lord is glorified and he's magnified. Yesterday there was a funeral there in Windsor. The family was so touched by the large number that showed up for their deceased loved one. They were really touched by the love that was shown toward their family. This is how we show that we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the love that we have one another. May God grant us grace day by day to be faithful to him. Amen.